You signed up for this.
Welcome to Random Rambles. I'm Tasha.
And I'm Amy.
We're here to talk about whatever we feel like talking about. And apparently Amy wanted to start early.
Maybe I did. I was just reminding Tasha because sometimes she judges me.
I don't judge you. I get caught off guard by you.
Okay. Well, that's better than judging. But I just constantly remind her that she signed up for this. She knows what I'm like. Well, I hope by now that she knows what I'm like.
I just would like to remind you that goes both ways. My ear is still bleeding.
Yeah. So let's give some context to that.
Amy and I went out for brunch with some friends this morning.
Yeah.
And I thought I would wear my matching earring and necklace set. I had to re-pierce one of my ears.
As you do.
It's been a while since I've worn earrings, so I had to re-pierce my ear. But
yeah, which is unusual. I don't find that happens to me. I could go ages without wearing earrings, and they'd like...
I mean, when I say that it's been a while since I wear earrings, I mean like 18 months.
Okay.
It's been quite a while.
A decent amount of time. But
it was only one ear, too. It's weird. This ear was fine. This ear is all screwy.
So weird. So Tasha was just mentioning that she can't remember when she got her ears pierced originally.
Yeah, I think
something like what, 6 months?
Yeah, I think I was about 6 months old.
Yeah,
I'm fairly certain I was under a year old because my mum does describe it as like I was a babe in arms.
So it
was pretty young, but that it's a cultural thing for us because like my mum's Dutch and like. Having pierced ears, my oma had them, my mum had them, yeah. Like my grandmother had, like my great-grandmother. Like, yeah. It's something that you did when the baby was young so that they can have it, but they don't have the memory of the pain that comes with it.
Mm.
So I was very young, and she explains that they did your right ear, and then by the time you realised what was happening, your left ear was done, you were just starting to sort of think about crying, and we gave you a white chocolate frog, and that was it. You were happy. Had to be a white chocolate frog because apparently I was wearing a white frilly dress, as mothers do when they have a young baby. Sure. That they can dress how they like. And she's like, it has to be a white chocolate frog because I'm not getting chocolate all over that dress.
Was it a Freddo or a knockoff of a Freddo?
No idea. That's far too much detail.
Okay, sorry. I don't know if white chocolate frog repetitively, not Freddo. Okay.
Yeah, I don't know if Freddo did white chocolate at that stage.
Oh, true. Maybe, yeah. Maybe it was just some random.
It may have been a Milky Bar kid. I don't know.
True. Yeah, okay.
It's just white chocolate.
Mm-hmm.
She said frog, so I say frog.
It did sound like a no-frills version.
It would not surprise me. And it also wouldn't have bothered me. It was very young. I would have just been like, oh, sugar.
Now, white chocolate, yuck. But.
Yum.
No.
Rude.
Get out of here. So for me, it was, I just remember begging my mum to no end to get my ears pierced. And finally she gave in when I was 5 years old. And she still considered that quite young to get my ears pierced.
Oh.
Yeah. She wanted to wait a little bit longer.
It is interesting how that differs between things. Because I know that my brother and my sister-in-law didn't get my niece's ears pierced. But I want to get my kids' ears pierced quite young so that they don't have to remember it.
Because
I quite like the idea of them having the option of wearing earrings.
Yeah.
Because they don't have to wear them. They come out. They don't have to wear the earrings if they don't want to. But not having to worry about the pain involved.
Yeah.
I quite like that. But I think my nieces have their ears done now because they asked for it.
Okay.
And my nephew has had his ear done, I think. But my brother has his ear done too. But he was older because that wasn't like
dumb thing.
Yeah, guys didn't really. It wasn't something that crossed my mum's mind that my brother would want his ears pierced.
Yeah.
So she didn't take him the same way she took me. But when my brother asked for it, I think my parents both sort of said, like, when you get to this age. Or if you can pay for this much of it, then we'll do it.
Right.
And so he sort of worked towards it. And then he was like, no, I still want to do it. And
it's a good test then to see if you really want something done.
I don't think that sleep has ever come out of his ear. Like it went in and it never came out again.
It's a part of him now.
It's yeah, basically. It's like I'm fairly certain it's like if it's not the same sleeper, then the sleeper he's wearing is very, very similar. Oh. Like yeah. The same sort of silver or gold sleeper is always the one that he has in his ear. And now my nephew has his ear done as well, cool. I believe. So
it's a good tradition. Or started one.
Yeah. And I mean, it's one of the least offensive traditions you can have, isn't it?
I think so. I mean, my family, I think both my grandmother and my great-grandmother had clip-on earrings. They didn't have the ears pierced their whole lives.
I can't stand clip-on earrings. They give me such an earache.
Oh, yeah. And they're quite heavy.
Yeah.
Yes. But no, up until, my Nana dying, she had never had her ears pierced. She always had clip-ons. And it got to the point where clip-ons actually made a comeback.
Yeah.
So.
And there's a new iteration of them.
Yeah.
Of magnetic. Oh, look, he loves you.
Aww. Oh. Neo, Tasha's cat, just went past my leg and, like, gave her a little bit.
Gave her a little bit of a tail bump.
Yeah. So that's the first time ever. So I'm quite honored.
The new version of, like, the clip-on earrings is the magnetic earrings.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering if maybe they would be lighter because they've got to carry a lighter load holding themselves up. And maybe they don't compress your ear as much.
I'm still thinking with a magnet, though.
Yeah,
it's going on both sides of your ear.
Yeah, there'd still be some, but some of those freaking clip-on earrings that I remember, like, playing with as a kid, they were really painful.
Yeah.
So maybe it just kills the nerves after a while.
And you don't feel it? Well, I mean, my Nana lived to about 80-something, so, I mean, that's a lot of years where she's just had clip-ons and it's just become maybe part of her.
She just killed those nerves early.
Her lobes don't feel a thing anymore. But yeah, same with my great grandma. She was the same. She didn't have her ears pierced either. But mum did, and my dad's mum, my other Nana, she had her ears pierced too. So I don't know whether it was just at the time, whether it was too expensive.
If my dad's mum had her ears pierced. I'm assuming she did, but I don't actually know. We didn't have a lot to do with her.
Ah.
She didn't want a lot to do with us.
Ah. Yeah, that'll definitely halt her on getting information about something like that.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's just interesting, I guess, because, mum went between clip-ons and having, earrings with a pierced ear. Now she has pierced ears, but also has to re-pierce one ear every now and again. Just tends to over. It's weird. Just one side.
Yeah, mine, it was like it was in the center. Like, obviously when you pierce your ear, there's that tube.
Yeah.
Where the earring sits in your ear. And that it was like the center of the tube had grown back, but the two ends were still holes. So I could get the earring in halfway from the front and the earring halfway from the back of the lobe, but it's like there was a blockage in between. I was like, what the fuck is happening here?
Yeah, so I can honestly say I never went to any sleepovers or any, like, when I was younger.
Yeah, we were talking off the podcast earlier, about, because I had to get the needle out and poke the hole back.
Did you get ice and numb it or anything?
No.
Oh, God.
Shoved it through.
Yeah.
I'm harder than that. But the comment was made that, what are you, 12 at a sleepover?
Yeah. But I honestly don't remember anything like that happening at my sleepovers.
Well, obviously, your girlfriends were not as tough as my girlfriends were.
No, I think we all just had our ears pierced already.
It wasn't just ears being pierced either, though. Like, there were girls piercing their noses.
Oh, yeah.
That was what I...
a whole other level.
Yeah. That was what I couldn't do. I've never liked... And it's not that, like... I think it looks pretty on... Like, I see people that have it, and I think it looks pretty. I in my own head, I can't have it for myself because I'm like, what if I blow my nose and it comes flying out? Or what if it gets shit stuck on it?
I know.
Something, and I'm like, I can't deal with the logistics of it in my head.
I think I'm not cool enough to have an earring in my nose.
I don't think it's an earring. I think you have special ones.
A clip-on. a clip-on. In my nose.
Just get one of those fake septum ones.
They're
the ones that I... Those ones, septum with the little ring. I hate those ones because to me it looks like you're about to lead them all by. Like, I don't know.
But no, I think there's certain people that can pull it off, and I'm just not one of them.
No.
I just don't have that sort of MO about me.
I've always wanted to get, like, the top of my cartilage on my ear pierced.
Mm-hmm.
And the one time I tried it, it got so horribly infected.
Oh.
Like, and I did everything that the store, Pierce told me to do. I washed it with the staff. I was very careful with it and everything, but it got so infected. But then we couldn't get the piercing out. Like, we couldn't get the barbell and the ball to unscrew.
Oh, no.
It was horrendous. And I had that, you know, that those really bad infections where you get the red line.
Yeah.
That had started to show up. And so, of course, my father's panicked about it. My mum's worried about it. And I'm, like, sitting there going, my ear really hurts. Like, yeah. Can we just get this out of my ear? Do you know how we got it out? There's no emergency room visits in this place. No. There's no emergency room visits in this place. Fucking wire cutters.
Oh, that was my next guess.
Yeah, my dad just, like, cut right through that, and it really fucking hurt. And there was no way to save that barbell. It was gone.
I feel like our dads are quite similar.
Probably. They're both, like, men that sort of get in and fix shit, so...
Yeah.
I would imagine they'd be similar in those things. But, oh, my God, it was just very painful. And I sort of took that as my one and only notice from the universe that this is not what you need.
No, you do not need this again.
Okay. So I've got, like, the ear cuffs instead of the piercings. I get the ear cuffs with the chains. So I still get the same sort of look.
Okay.
It isn't actually...
Have I seen you with that? No.
I don't think so.
No, I don't think I have.
I don't think I've... Because... with where I'm working, where we met,
yeah,
it wasn't really appropriate. So true. I've never worn them.
Yeah, okay.
You might have seen photos of me on, like, my Instagram and that where I've got them, but I don't think you've seen them in person.
Okay. Yeah.
And most of my earrings are still packed away for the move.
Yeah. Could put a clip on the top there.
That's what the cuffs are for. I am not putting a clip on there. Piss off.
A proper Nana clip on.
No. I like my ears.
I don't want them strangled.
Do not want them being strangled like that. Oh, my God. It's like, I can't wear earrings that are really heavy.
No, me neither.
They hurt so much. And but the worst part is that they drag on your earlobe.
Yeah.
And then you end up with these horrendous ears when you're older because they've been pulled all the way down. And you sort of, I can't remember what award show it was. It was like a year, 2 years ago. I was looking at, I was in a waiting room for a doctor or dentist or something like that. And I was sitting with my mum because she had an appointment behind mine. So, you know, it was just convenient. We went together. It was easy. And I'm sitting looking at one of those, like, People magazines or whatever it was, trying to pass the time.
Yeah.
And there's a photo of, I think it was Beyonce. And she had these giant earrings in her ears, and it was, like, pulling her ear down so much. No. And I just looked at my mum, and I, like, showed her, and she was like, her poor ears. And I'm like, I know, right? How heavy must they be? I would have a headache in the first 5 minutes.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be able to do it. I'd, like, hand them back to the stylist and be like, find me something else. I cannot do these.
Mm-hmm.
Like, no, I don't care how pretty they are. That fucking hurts.
But it's like stretches on guys. You know how, like, it starts off with, like, a little one and it gets bigger?
That is, if you can hear that shredding, that is my cat.
Over there, maybe?
Yeah, he's playing on the bag.
Yeah.
He's got the afternoon zoomies. My apologies to anyone that is hearing him act like a crazy little psycho. It's because he is a crazy little psycho.
Yes, he's Kingpin.
Salem, then.
Kingpin 2? I don't know.
Kingpin Gold Coast.
Yeah. Kingpin Logan?
Kingpin Gold Coast.
No, the stretches on some guys, I remember, because my mum works at the hospital, and she was directing a whole bunch of people that had inquiries, and he'd come up and taken his giant stretches out, and he said, is there anything you can do? I just need these chopped off, and all the skin from the giant stretcher, like that really big sort of obscene...
Yeah, they do reconstructive surgery.
Yeah. So
but it's like, plastic surgery. I just think they're
snipped off, and if you could just quickly, like, suture them up, I'll be on my way. And she's like, there's no quicking about it. You need to see a surgeon. and they're going to have to do something. Like, it's
I like how they walk into like an emergency department or something and they're like, can you just, like,
if you just wouldn't mind just getting rid of this.
Like, mate, if you want us to be doing that on in the emergency room, the cutting has to have already been done.
Yeah.
And you need to be bleeding profusely.
Yeah, but I just like,
FYI, we are not advocating that you do that. No, do not do that.
For the love of God, do not do that. Yeah, but I just like the thought process of it would just be quick, just quickly chip chop and just quick a couple of like stitches and then I'll be on my way.
I think I've heard about like tattoo parlors that actually have people that are trained in that procedure now.
Oh, wow.
Like, so that's
well,
like,
that's good.
It's like a tattoo parlor and it has like an a aesthetics plastic surgery place that can like do your quick cosmetic stuff, like yeah. your Botox and stuff like that.
If you just quickly chop off my lobes.
Just an afternoon surgery, like your lunchtime surgery.
Dangly long bits of sort of tubed skin.
Yeah.
With a hole through it, basically. Yep. And he'd had really giant stretches in.
Yeah.
And I think didn't want them anymore.
I think one of the I've seen photos of guys I've gone to like high school with and people that I've known and through workplaces and that have had those big stretches in. And then they're like, look, I can fit this through my ear. And it's like a carbine clip or something like that. And I'm sitting there going, why do you want to?
I know.
I'm like, I get like when you have the stretcher and then the aesthetic and everything like that. But why do you want that hanging from your ear? It's so heavy.
I know. They did try and do a lot of stuff. Like, look, it's got bigger and like heavier and like they just try all these different things and you just be like,
why?
What is happening? What are we looking at?
I don't understand the thought process. Could someone please explain this to me? In a way I'll understand.
Yeah.
It's like I'm all for everyone doing with their own bodies what they are happy to do.
Yes.
That's I have no issue with that. Tattoos, piercings, body modifications, whatever. I've watched that show where the guy got the bumps put in.
Yes.
And I was like, oh, that's interesting. I wouldn't do it.
Yeah, it is interesting, but no, I wouldn't do it either.
You know, and then to be told that, like, the complications from the surgery are very often fatal because of where the surgery is.
Yeah.
I was like, I am not that dedicated to my aesthetic.
I think he's a lizard man, hey? He's turning into a lizard?
I can't remember if he's turning into a lizard, but he was certainly doing a lot of stuff.
Did he have his split tongue? Lizardy's tongue now and stuff. I think.
Oh, now you think. Now that you say it, I think so.
Yeah, it wasn't just that he had the stuff put in his forehead. It was He's turning into a lizard. Lizard man.
Which again is an aesthetic that I'm not that attached to.
I know. Well, I was also not one to get my belly button pierced. I know that was all the rage. When I was in high school, and even primary school was all the rage.
Yeah, see, I wasn't interested in that one either, but then my stomach is an area that I'm not particularly happy with, so I would not want to be drawing attention to it anyway.
Yeah.
The one that got me was the corset piercings.
Yeah.
I never understood that one, because one wrong move.
Oh, man. It's making me jumpy already.
One person pulling on it because they're a fuckhead. Leaves you with serious damage.
Yeah.
I never understood that. And the other ones I got with the, I know we know a lot of people that have like the tongue piercings.
Yeah.
And the thing about that for me is that I already move my tongue around my mouth when I'm like, I'm not talking. I just like move my tongue around and like play with my teeth and, you know, I'm sure plenty of other people do it too. If I had a piercing on my tongue, I would always be pulling it between my teeth and doing all sorts of damage. And it would be the same if I had, like, the spider bite or the snake bite piercing on my lips.
Yeah.
Like, I would do so much damage to my teeth.
Oh, man.
Because I wouldn't not be able to play with it.
The dentist would love you.
He already does.
Yeah, well, that's
do not need to add that to the list.
No. And that's the thing. I think I got mainly scared of how often the belly button
got infected.
Gross. Or got caught. Caught in clothes, caught
towels. There was a girl in my high school that got it caught on her sports uniform and there was so much blood.
Yeah, it just, ugh, you know, and they always seem to pick really, like, ornate, spiky,
dangly
things. You know, it had, like, stars dangling and then it had, like, another pointy bit over here and I thought, do you want your stomach to, like, be just cut up? Like, I didn't find it attractive enough to be like, oh, I want that.
Mm.
At all.
Mm-mm.
But it was all rage, like the midriffs and everything were all the rage when, you know.
The one that I never understood in, like, I could even understand the aesthetics of the corset piercing.
Yeah.
But the one that I could never understand at all was the bar across the back of your neck. I can't even remember what it's called, but there's like, they pierce along there.
Yeah.
Along, and I'm gesturing to like the top end of my neck. But
do you think that's popular still?
I have no idea. I have not seen it in a very long time, and I've not heard anyone talk about it for a very long time.
Yeah.
But I also feel like when I was growing up, when you were growing up, like a lot of that grunge aesthetic where that was popular was my, like, very mainstreamed.
Uh-huh.
Like, we had a lot of bands that were very grungy, and we had, you know, a lot of music and TV shows that had a lot of that aesthetic in it. And these days it seems to be very, you know, sort of girly pop again.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, very clean cut, very, you know, neat and that.
Stretches and stuff anymore. Well, no. I mean,
not in mainstream stuff.
No.
So much.
Yeah. Don't get me wrong, you still see them, but yeah. Can't say I've seen the bar across the neck in ages.
No.
Maybe it's not a done thing anymore. Maybe it's not good for you. Maybe, I don't know. Maybe they don't.
I mean, there's plenty of body modifications that people are doing that aren't good for you.
Yeah.
They just don't care.
Prince Albert? Listeners, if you could see Taj's face when I said that, oh, priceless. I'm going to take a mental picture of that face for later.
I don't understand why anyone would want that one.
Apparently it's, you know, some people think it's excellent for pleasure.
There's a lot of things people think is excellent for pleasure, and it just becomes a problem in the emergency room.
I know. Yeah, that's true. But yeah, it's a whole other thing, that. A whole other thing.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
And no piercings for labias.
Mm-hmm.
No.
It's just asking for an infection.
And
there's not a place you want an infection.
No. Not even a little bit.
Not even a little bit.
No. It's already pretty temperamental.
It can be. I've been lucky. Like, I've not had anything.
You're gesturing like up in the air. Do you have STIs? What do you mean?
STIs, UTIs. Oh, yeah, like, yeah. I've been very lucky. I've not... I say lucky, but really, I've just been looking after myself.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I remember having a conversation with I can't even remember how many years ago. I've not worked with or seen this woman in years and years and years, but I remember having a conversation with her once. Her daughter had Her daughter had a UTI,
uh-huh.
And she was awful. Like, and she was like, oh, it's her third one in this long, and you know, it's really bad. And
wow.
And I was like,
what is she not doing?
And she's like, yeah, so they've told us that she has to drink cranberry juice every day and that. And I'm like, okay, I'm the random person that is like, I actually like cranberry juice and I will buy it for myself relatively. Oh, yeah, I know, right? Most people drink it because they have to, but like, I'm like, I quite like it. I've never had to drink it because I have to, but I like slightly tart, slightly sour stuff. Sure. So it suits my flavor palette. But I was like, what are you doing that she's getting UTIs so often?
Yeah.
Because
yeah,
it's there's unusual. Something that you're not doing right for it to be so common.
Yeah.
And I know that there are certain factors certain genetic factors that can lead you more predisposed to having an excess of bacteria that would allow you to get UTIs more often.
Yeah.
But if that's something that you've suffered with and you are her mother and you know that this is a thing, would you not then be like, we're going to take these extra steps so that she doesn't have to worry about it?
Surely.
And if that's not what's the case, are you not teaching her to wash herself properly?
Exactly.
She wasn't a young kid. Like, she wasn't a baby. She was certainly of the age where she could have bathed herself.
Yeah.
And I was just like, why is she... don't understand. What do you mean she's getting UTIs so frequently?
That's a worry.
She was like, oh, you know, it's just this thing. And I'm like,
no,
I really don't. I freaking can't actually remember the last time I had one.
Yeah.
So I don't understand what you mean that it's this common. Like, is it this common for you?
Yeah. Yeah, what's normal for you?
I'm concerned and confused.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. yeah, you should be looking into it a lot more if you're getting repeat. That's awful. Yep. UTIs. Oh.
They're horrendous. For men and for women.
Yeah, it's not good. No one wants to feel like that.
No.
No. What an interesting turn of events.
I know. You opened that topic.
I did. But notice, everyone, I'd just like to point out that I did not say the word vagina.
Until now.
Yeah, I said labia. That's what it is.
Yeah, you can't pierce the other part. It's too far in. I mean, you probably could, but you really wouldn't want to.
Jesus, that's a whole surgery in itself, I think.
Don't put it past people.
Oh, gosh. I do worry.
There was something the other day about a doctor going on about they'd given the husband a pain, like a really strong painkiller.
Yeah.
For he had some, like a skin tag or something removed. Dude was off his head with his painkiller.
For a skin tag?
Yeah, it was something stupid like that. Like something really small that really didn't need that level of pain medication.
I was going to say, I'm like, I've had skin tags removed. You just get a local in the skin tag.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just clarifying. Yeah. I'm like, what am I doing wrong?
I can't remember what it was exactly, but it was like, it was something really basic that it didn't really need that higher level of painkiller, but dude was off his fucking head. And his wife was driving him home and she's like, I got told to take 2 ibuprofen when I got home after they cut a chunk out of my cervix. And he got that.
Yeah.
For that.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah. I'm really over medical negligence in regards to a woman's pain.
Yeah.
As someone who has a chronic pain condition, it is really fucking frustrating.
Yeah. Because don't get us wrong. We're tough.
Oh, yeah.
Women are tough, but we need to be treated the same.
Yeah, but you go in with a proper concern. Like, I, years on years of being in chronic pain, of passing out, of having excessive bleeding, of just, you know... And being told, oh, no, it'll all settle down soon. You're just a teenager. It'll be fine. It's just all got to settle down. Only to find out it's endometriosis and nothing was going to settle down.
Yeah.
And being told, like, no, it's perfectly normal. Just take some painkillers. Like, go home, take some Nurofen, take some Panadol. You know, whatever it is that you need to take, it'll be fine.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, okay. Only to find out it's a potentially life-threatening and life-changing disease.
Yeah.
Thank you for that. For that medical negligence that has led me to a 10-year fucking battle with every doctor I come across.
Yeah.
Because I know this isn't right. Mm. I should not be feeling this way.
No.
And that's just one part of what I've had to go through.
Yeah.
And then you've got men that walk in and they're like, oh, my stomach hurts. Like, oh, we'll send you through for all these CT scans.
Yeah.
I was on TikTok the other day and there was a lady going on about how she had to go to the ER 3 times to be seen by a doctor who would take her seriously.
Yeah.
Because the first time she went, she's like, it's really sore. And he's like, oh, it's just, you know, it's probably just period pain. Go home, take some Panadol. And she's like, it can't be period pain. I don't get periods. And he's like, no, it's just period pain. It'll be fine. And told her to go home. And she's like, no. She comes back and he's like, oh, it's probably just, you know, period pain. And she's like, no, you don't understand. It can't be period pain. I don't have ovaries.
Yeah.
They were removed.
Yeah.
So it can't be period pain because I physically cannot get a period when I do not have ovaries.
No.
Are you sure? I think I know.
It'd be really frightening if you did not know for sure whether you had ovaries or not.
She finally got a doctor. She's like, can you just get me another doctor then? Like, get me someone who will take me seriously because this is ridiculous. The other doctor went and checked checked her medical records to confirm she'd had surgery to remove her ovaries. Because you wouldn't remember that or anything.
It's pretty funny.
Turned out
surgery.
It was a fucking tumor. But oh no, it's period pain.
What a dick. I can't even. Honestly, these doctors these days, like, you really have to fight to be taken serious. And you have to fight to say that you don't feel okay. Because it is brushed off. I recently got told that Okay. Just looking at MRI and a few other bits and pieces. Looks all normal. I guess migraines and headaches are just your lot. What do you mean? What does that mean? What, my lot? Because that's, I'm so lucky in life. Like, wow, thanks.
I was talking to my doctor because I've suffered from a lot of migraines and a lot of headaches, and that same as you. Yeah. And I was talking to my doctor because my I had this new medicine that he wanted to try, this new medication that he wanted to try, and he couldn't do it because he went, you suffer from migraines. I'm like, yes. And he said, okay, what sort of migraines? Because there's different types.
Definitely.
And I told him, and he's like, okay, you can't try this medication. And I was like, what do you mean? And he's like, well, the type of migraine you have indicates that you're already a high risk of stroke. So putting you on a medication that has a risk of stroke triples that risk. Let's not do that.
No.
Oh, yeah, no, let's not do that. What do you mean I'm a high risk of stroke?
Yeah, let's go back a bit. Let's just revert back to what you originally said. Yeah.
Oh. Pause, rewind.
Yeah, tell me again. But that's the thing. And so to what end, my next question was, okay, so we still don't really, she's like, well, you're fine. And I was like, well, not really. It's unusual to get this amount of headaches and migraines. It's really, that's, so structurally I'm fine, but like what's going on? What's happening to cause this? We need to get to the root cause of what's going on with me. It's really nothing else I can do. Okay.
So you said you had you changed your birth control?
Yeah.
Because they have side effects like that.
Yeah. So I'm not on birth control anymore and having a good detox from that. So for about a year before I make a decision about what I do. But
you're going to keep track of how many like headaches and migraines you get that time to see if it changes.
Yeah, definitely.
Because I know when my migraines and that, I don't get as many as I used to.
Yeah.
But I do know that I have had in the past really bad bouts of them. Mm. And the doctor's given me pain medication to take when on it. And then he said, we can give you a preventative, but you'll essentially have to take this every day.
Yeah.
Almost for the rest of your life. And I was like, oh, can we not just find out what the problem is and start with that instead?
Right cause.
His alternate to that was Botox.
Yeah, I've heard that. I've been offered that.
And it was, it's like, it's not Botox in the cosmetic way.
Like,
yeah, I could still move my face. It's actually behind the hairline, and it's along those central nerve points where the pain starts originating, and that it sort of kills the nerves in the area where the pain originates, and then you don't start with that. But my worst episodes of migraines were actually concussion induced, so I had head trauma that caused the problem.
Apparently there's a specific ear piercing you can get.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And the bit, yeah.
We've had that discussion. Are you really going to go there?
But yeah, it's just interesting that no one seems to want to go any further than the huge these days. So you get a couple of blood tests. You might change your diet, you know.
Favorite is when they just go, well, maybe if you lose a few kilos.
Oh, that's my favorite too. Yeah.
Like, yeah, it's okay. I know I need to lose a few kilos, but that can't be the only reason.
No, it's not. And that's the thing. And then there's all weird suggestions like, oh, maybe you're depressed.
I get migraines because I'm depressed. That's a new one. Thanks.
Thanks. That's weird. I said, I'm depressed that we don't know what the answer is.
You're making me depressed. Your inability to assist me in my medical needs as a medical practitioner is really depressing me.
So, I mean, I've went out on my own and I found a specialist that's a holistic women's health specialist.
I think I've become, like, I'm a little bit spoiled, I think, in regards to my doctor.
Yeah.
Because I've been very lucky, and I will admit that to anyone, I've been very lucky with my GP.
That's good.
Because he is happy to admit when he's wrong about things. Like, when I came to him with, we couldn't figure out what it was. Like, I was tired all the time. Mm. Everything hurt on the weekend. I didn't want to move. I was essentially I was barely surviving.
Yeah.
You know, nothing was going right. I would collapse in a heap on a Saturday morning and I couldn't do anything. Like, my house was a constant pigsty because I would work long hours, come home, fall into bed, get up, go to work, come home, fall into bed. And on a Saturday morning, I could not pull myself out of bed. It's like I would spend all weekend sleeping to recover enough to get up and go to work on Monday. So yeah. My house never got cleaned properly. So I'd do little bits where I could, but yeah. That's never going to be enough.
And it took it out of you to do that.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And it was a nightmare.
Mm.
And I just remember going to my doctor going, this can't be right. I'm in my 20s. I don't know any other 20-year-old that is barely functioning the way I am.
Yeah.
This is ridiculous. There's got to be something wrong. And eventually I went to him and I was like, look, I want to be tested for this.
Yeah.
Because this matches all of my symptoms.
Yeah.
And I really feel like this is along the right track.
Yeah.
And he was like, I really don't think that that's what you've got.
Mm.
But if it's going to make you feel better,
yeah,
sure. But it's going to take, like, 6 months of testing minimum,
yeah,
to prove or disprove that you have this, and you're going to have to be tested regularly in that time. And I was like, whatever, dude, I want to get tested.
Yeah.
Because I really feel like this matches everything.
Yeah.
And when I went back to him at the end of the testing period with all the results, he was like, I'm really sorry because I should have taken this way seriouser. Like,
yeah,
he's like, I have never met anyone with this.
Mm.
And I have been researching and I've been contacting colleagues and these markers in someone who has a low level of this double every period, yeah, you get tested, yours were tripling.
Wowee.
So I was here, barely functioning, but I was very quickly going to be here.
Mm.
Like, I was dropping very fast. Yeah. And he's like, we need to get a handle on this really fast. And I'm really sorry that it took me so long to even contemplate that this would be a problem. And I was like, okay, well, you know, he went out and educated himself on what I have. And he made sure that everything he did was helpful because he didn't want to be, he's like, I've already fucked up by not taking you seriously when you first came to me with the request. I don't want to make this worse.
Yeah.
So I will admit I've been very lucky in that I went to him and said, I think I have this. Can I test for it? And his response was, yeah, sure, if it makes you feel better.
Yeah.
Because so many doctors would be like, you don't need to test for that. You're just a hypochondriac. It's fine.
Here's a printed out piece of paper for your journey to read from Google.
Yeah. Mm. He was, and he would literally pull textbooks down in front of me and be like, what's...
Yeah, that's excellent. Like, that's really good.
So
we need more of them.
Yeah. He's bloody brilliant, he is, and my parents now see him as well because he's just so...
Oh, that's good. So family doctor. That's good.
He's really good. And he's... I have a friend who has a family doctor. I don't think she sees him anymore, I'm really not sure, but she was going to the same doctor she'd gone to since she was a child.
Yeah.
Which...
Yeah.
Cool, if you're comfortable, that's fine. But my big issue I had with him is because he knew who her mother was and everything, that he would then, after her age of majority, like when they don't need to be passing that information on, was still having in-depth conversations with her mum about her health. And you don't have the legal right. Like, I see the same doctor as my mum.
Yeah.
And we've done that for years. Like, I think I met him in my early teens is when he took over my medical care. And I think when I was 13 or 14, he started asking me if I was comfortable with her being in the room.
Yeah.
And after I started coming to see him on my own, no conversations were had with my mother unless it was necessary.
Yeah.
And, like, by necessary, I mean I had really bad tonsillitis and could barely breathe, let alone speak. Mm-hmm. So she came in to be translator.
Yeah.
Or, you know, stuff where it's been really heavy.
Yeah.
And she's had to come in and be like, it's okay, it'll be fine, stuff like that. Like, the same sort of thing is, like, when my mum got diagnosed with cancer, someone went with her because the doctor said, you need someone with you because you're not going to be able to absorb all of this.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Any of these sort of appointments, you need to have someone else with you just because you're going to be too foggy.
Yeah.
We need someone who's going to be able to take it in
and
relay it to you when you're ready to hear
it. Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely.
So that sort of stuff he's been very good with.
Yeah.
The only time I don't like going down to that surgery is when I can't get in to see him. Because I had, I think it was when we were still working together, I had that really nasty chest infection. I couldn't breathe.
Yes. I remember. It's like I
was gurgling with every breath.
Yeah.
And I had to see the female doctor down there, who has a very bad reputation.
Ooh.
She cannot stay in her lane. I went down because I couldn't breathe.
Yeah.
Okay. So chest infection. It was borderline bronchitis. It was really bad.
Yeah.
And I was like, I need antibiotics or something because sad. I can't breathe.
Yeah.
And her first question was, I can see that your birth control is due to come up. And I'm like,
what's happening?
What?
Meanwhile, you're dying.
Yeah, I'm like,
yeah, you're talking about birth control. Yeah,
I just remember looking at her going, why are you asking me about that? Oh, well, I can see that it's on the board here. And if you want to have a... What, she wanted to have a talk about the implant.
Oh.
And I was like...
Yeah.
No. I am here because I can't breathe.
That has nothing to do with birth control.
She just kept pushing it. And I ended up being like... Look, lady, I don't know you. I'm not talking about that with you. As you can see from my file, I generally only see one of two doctors. Well, and you are not them. So stay in your lane.
Yeah.
Chest infection. Emergency appointment. I am. You are not taking over as my regular GP. We are not having these discussions. Just listen to the chest. Hear the gurgle. Give me the drugs.
Yeah.
Let me go. I will have that. Because, like, my next appointment was already booked in with the doctor.
Yeah.
To see him about my reproductive health.
Yeah.
And I was
so
like...
So it's fine. Everything's fine.
I don't... Like, I understand that it's going to be out of date by the time I see him, but that was the earliest appointment I could see for that. And I wasn't going to replace... Like, I wasn't going to wait long enough for that appointment for my chest infection when I couldn't breathe. I would have ended up in hospital. And then I would have missed the appointment anyway.
Oh my God, your birth control. No. Well, speaking of staying in your lane, I found that the medical receptionist where I go needs to stay in her lane.
Uh-oh.
So this is all sparked from going to the specialist. And she said, I think the implanon in your arm is not agreeing with you. You need it out. And so I was like, that's fine. Easy breezy.
Yeah, we can take it out and see how we go.
Yeah, like, that's fine. And so I said, I'll ring my doctor, and she's good in the sense that she won't argue with you if you want something done or not done. Like, she doesn't push anything on you. Like, she knows I don't want to just take unnecessary medication. If I can go natural, I will. Things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so I rang up and I said, look, just want to book in to get this implant out of my arm. So, you know, pop that in. No, I think you need to talk to her first. You need a separate appointment to talk to your doctor about making sure you understand that you won't be covered.
Covered for what?
And I was like, what do you mean?
Covered for pregnancy.
Yeah. And I was like, well, I'm 37 now. If I don't understand the concept of being covered and not being covered, that's a worry in itself. And so we went on for a little bit of back and forth. I had to pull out the My Body, My Choice in the end. With this medical receptionist, it's booking my appointment. That's all she's doing. She said, no, it's been a while. I think you still need to talk to her before you get it done. So I said, so you
listen, lady.
What I'm hearing in all this is that you just want two separate appointments for more money, isn't it? Because it'll be a very quick conversation. Hi, doctor. I want my implant out. Okay. That's how I said, I'm telling you, that's how it's going to go. And no, you definitely need to sit down and go through the pros and cons of getting it out and not being covered. And I said, yeah, but there's condoms. We all know about them. We do.
There's still the diaphragm. If you really want to go that old school, there's a diaphragm. Yeah. I could use that.
Yeah, absolutely. So, anyway. So by the end of it, ended up with two appointments. Had to go see my doctor.
I would have just cancelled one.
Had to go see the doctor, and then we talked about it for about 2 minutes. And then I said, I'll see you tomorrow to get this out. She goes, yeah, cool.
And did you say something to her about
it? I didn't in the end.
No. Oh, I would have. I wouldn't have been able to help myself. I would have been sitting there going, I would really like a refund for this appointment because this was pointless.
Yeah.
And your receptionist forced it on me.
Yeah.
And I really want a refund. And I really want her to be told not to fucking force shit on people.
Yeah. Because... So I don't know whether it was her own bias coming into what it seemed like her bias.
Yeah, my mum had that years ago.
Coming into the... Rather than just going, okay, that's what you want. Cool. Book it in. Done. It was some sort of weird thought process in her brain rather than she's projecting onto me, basically. Yeah. And so by the end of it, look, I got it out within the week and I was bloody happy about it. Skipping down the lane. but it's just funny that women...
Can't have control over their own
bodies. Yeah, like it's a fight even with a bloody medical receptionist. To get what you want.
Yeah. And my mum's had that because my mum's, obviously I wasn't there, but from all accounts, my brother's birth for my mum was very traumatic.
Yeah.
And it was the doctor's fault because he got impatient and he used the forceps twice and he tore my mum.
Yeah.
And so she nearly bled out.
Mm-hmm.
It was all a big thing, but because of the scarring and everything like that, she was essentially told not to have more kids. Well, almost a decade later, I came along.
Hey!
It was convoluted. Yes, I was essentially an accident, but as my parents said, not every accident is a bad accident.
Sure.
They were quite happy to have me. They had wanted more kids, but they were told not to have them. Sure. So, you know. So,
oh, buddy, we wouldn't be doing this podcast.
We would not. But she... went to her doctor and he confirmed the pregnancy and everything. And then she asked for a referral to a doctor on the Gold Coast.
Yeah.
And he refused to hand it over because he thought she was going for an abortion.
Uh-huh.
But she wanted to go see the doctor that had saved her life.
Sure.
Because he was the doctor that stepped in when the original doctor that was delivering my brother nearly killed her. He was the doctor that stepped in and saved her life. And so she sort of was like, I would like to see him. Because he,
please and thanks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, there's a little bit of history there. He understands, like, he will remember, surely he will remember the trauma of that.
Sure. Yeah.
Or he will at least have a file that will jog his memory on it.
They're so similar. And this forceps too.
This doctor just flat out went, I don't believe in that and I'm not going to help you with that. He didn't even ask why she wanted to see the doctor. He was just like, I don't believe in that and I'm not going to give you that referral. So she ended up ringing... this doctor down the coast, ringing his office and being like, I'm sure you don't remember me, but, you know, this is the... And the nurse that answered the phone was like, oh, honey, of course we remember a story like yours. You come on down.
Yeah.
And you bring that little boy with you because we would love to see him.
Oh, gorgeous.
So my brother got dragged to the first appointment. But, yeah, he was, by all accounts, obviously, again, you know, I was only there at the end part and I don't remember any of it, but by all accounts, my parents are still very happy with how everything went. My mum likes to joke that I was 2 weeks early and 5 minutes late because the doctor wanted to control the birth because of how traumatic the last one was.
Yeah.
I had to be a C-section because it could have gone so bad. And it was supposed to be, I was supposed to be born at like 8 o'clock in the morning.
Uh-huh.
But it was like, it was 8:30 or something. And it was like, I was born at 8:35 or whatever.
Oh.
Because it was so early in the morning, the doctor was still having breakfast and he had to wait for his pie to cool down. So it was 5 minutes late to the surgery. And mum says that my dad, it was raining on the morning they were heading to the hospital. And I can't remember if this is about my brother's birth or my birth, but I think it was my birth because mum says that she always jokes because he skidded through the lights. It was raining and he sort of fishtailed a little bit around the corner. Mum's like, you're still paying for the anesthesiologist. But the doctor forced my father to be at my birth because the first birth with my brother was so traumatic for my father that he was like, I don't want to be in there. I don't want to. And he was like, no, you've had to deal with a traumatic birth and now you need to be here because you need to understand that this is not how they are.
Yeah.
You need to be at a good one.
Yeah.
You need to understand that this is how it should
not
have been.
Not all of it is the same. Yeah.
So I suppose if you're lucky enough to find a good doctor, you can't let the bad doctors be the benchmark.
No.
They're like,
enough.
it's like the forest for the trees.
Yeah.
We keep seeing all of these bad doctors because they're the trees, but when you look out and you see the forest, there's a lot of good ones out there too.
Absolutely.
Just got to find them.
Yeah. So the specialist, to wrap up my end, is excellent, and I'm making headway with what's
wrong,
and that some of it, or actually really all of it, is fixable. I just wish I knew about it sooner to fix it and dug a little deeper. But look, lessons learned on all parts. So, yes, in the process of, eliminating and, doing some more tests and stuff. But, she's onto it, which is great.
And in the future, there may be a little bit of a quip at the medical receptionist at your GP's about bodily autonomy is not up to you.
Stop projecting your shit on me.
If you can't figure out what the problem of coverage is, it's not my fault.
I mean, it's sad that you have to sort of go into that much detail too, you know.
Yeah, because I know that at my doctor's it wouldn't be a drama.
Yeah.
Like if I rang them and I said, hey, I need this out.
Yeah.
I'd have a nurse's appointment in a couple of minutes.
Yeah.
To be fair, I would have a doctor's appointment because he's the one who does it, because he's the one who's certified, but the nurses wouldn't be an issue. It wouldn't even be a question.
No.
They'd just be like, oh, yeah, you're a long-standing patient.
You obviously. The thing.
Yeah.
I know.
If you were a new patient, they might ask some questions and be like, hey, we'd really, because you're a new patient, you would need to see the doctor first just to make sure that, all our I's are dotted and our T's are crossed. But I've been with him for like over a decade. I don't think they'd worry about it.
I don't think so either. Yeah. Which I was hoping was going to be the case because I've been seeing my GP for quite some time as well, probably over a decade. But, the gatekeeper did want to have a bar of it. So.
Well, the gatekeeper gatekeeped. I suppose they did their job.
I guess, though. Props to them. I don't know. you won't meow up during that. Rude.
Oh, he's fine. Look at him. He'll be asleep again in 2 minutes. But, to end on a good note.
Sure. Let's do it.
Not all doctors are bad, and there's certainly a few of them out there. And
yes,
I think that it's just about, it's not so much about doctor shopping, because you don't want to be looking for a doctor that's going to give you the answer you want all the time. That's not how that works.
No, definitely.
But I think finding one that you can communicate with openly, comfortably, and takes your inquiry seriously and your symptoms seriously. Like sometimes you're coming in with different things. They need to piece it together a bit because you're coming in for the symptom and they maybe need to piece together that these symptoms aren't individual, that they're one big problem.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think if you can find that sort of doctor,
yes,
you're doing all right.
I think so. And that they understand that, like I said, outlined before, I'm not into taking unnecessary drugs, which I'm sure most people aren't, but I know that things can get out of hand quite quickly with prescriptions. So I would prefer a natural alternative or some sort of, something that's not so invasive or that affects, might be good for one thing, but affects
they're responsible with their pharmaceutical. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. So, and sort of listen to you about sort of what your values and beliefs are rather than projecting onto you about anything in particular. So, if you can find that, that's an awesome bonus. Otherwise, you just sometimes have to push.
Yeah.
A bit harder for yourself rather than relying on them.
Yeah, at the end of the day, your medical autonomy is your medical autonomy.
Yeah.
And occasionally you're going to have to be your own advocate.
Yeah, my body, my choice. Not just in regards to abortions, literally anything.
Yep. If you've got a health concern and you need it taken seriously, then you need to advocate for yourself in those spaces as well.
Yeah. Yeah. So, sometimes you've got to ask harder questions and not just assume that's the end of the road with testing or anything like that. There are definitely sometimes things that they assume you might go, no, I wouldn't pay for anything, but you might be at wit's end and you need to pay for a couple of tests, do a longer test that takes months to do, like there's things that
oh my god, 6 to 8 months.
Yeah. So, but if you're wanting to be well, you'll do anything.
If you are genuinely ill and it is genuinely driving you up the wall because, oh my God, then you're going to be, like, every Saturday morning I was at the one and only 7-day blood clinic at opening to get those, because It was a fasting test. Oh, I was fucking hungry.
Yeah. It's never good enough to do one of them. Yeah. No.
And sometimes, like, if I was coming off a night shift or whatever, I was going there on my way home, so I was already defeated.
Yeah.
So, you know, if it's a genuine issue, you're willing to do quite a few things to make sure that it's taken seriously. So, yeah.
A lot of people underestimate health. And when you are healthy, they underestimate, you know.
When you look healthy, because, like, as everyone kept saying to me, you don't look that sick.
Yeah.
No, but I certainly feel it.
Yeah. So, and there's that too. But, yes, if you... Yeah, health is very important. And if you don't have your health, holy moly, it's not a great time.
Invisible illnesses, invisible disabilities, they are a real thing.
Yeah. Yeah. And don't be so judgy and assumey.
Yeah. Just because someone's not in a wheelchair doesn't mean that there isn't a disability there.
Yeah, exactly.
So on that note, we have been talking for very much an hour.
Woo! We did it like last time.
So we will... catch you all again very soon. We hope you have a great day wherever you are in the world.
Yes.
Or a wonderful night.
Yes.
Get lots of sleep.
All the timelines. Stay hydrated. Time zones.
Timelines.
Depending on what timeline you're listening. Yeah.
Well, I'm in Deadpool's timeline. I must be.
Oh, my God. Deadpool. So excited. That's another podcast topic to talk about. But, yes, thank you for listening. We... adore you for listening.
We appreciate you. And we will see you next time. Bye.
Bye.
Trees are in green. The ocean is grey. Sky is a vague blue. Come my way. My room is a mess. It could use a hand. My favorite TV shows are capturing. I know I must get it right. Must get back in the fight. This can't be a surprise. I think I'll let it slide. Into this bitter taste, I think I'll let it be.